we should be grateful to Allah Ta'ala that tonight, on this great night, Allah Ta'ala has given us the chance to come here. And nowadays, we know that we are in the days of Muharram, the Islamic month of Muharram, the first month of the year. And on this night of Jummah, on Thursday night, with the blessings of Allah, due to the sadaqah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to come here to remember him. We pray to Allah that just like Allah Ta'ala has started the year with us, allowing us to come to his gathering, to his dhikr, may he allow us to remember him until our last breath. Ameen. And when we depart from this world, may we depart with La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah on our tongues. Allah Ta'ala's worship should be done in every second, every moment, every breath, at every turn. It is great because this is the objective. And Allah Ta'ala loves that in special moments, special occasions, special times that we remember Him. Nowadays is the age of ghaflat, negligence, laziness, and far from the deen. And Allah Ta'ala likes that in this day and age, in this time of laziness and neglect, that we remember Him. We are living in such a generation that people are immersed, drowned in neglect, in loss, in dunya. We are surrounded with dunya, with attractions, with material things that attract us towards them and take us away from Allah. And to leave all those things, the dunya, the attractions, the comforts, the luxuries, the lust, the passions, to take ourselves out from that environment. If a person comes to the masjid just to do dhikr of Allah, subhanallah, glory be to Allah, then he is taking the great rewards of Allah, the great treasure of Allah. It's the karam, the mercy of Allah, the fadl of Allah. Allah is the one who's permitted us to come today, and he is the one who sends people away from his home. This is Allah's home, brothers. I cannot come with my own choice, nor can I depart with my choice. It's Allah's fadl, Allah's invitation. It's up to him how long he wants me to sit here, how long he wants me to benefit, and he can tell me to leave when he wants. No one has permission to come or go without Allah Ta'ala's permission. So these are rewards. Unconsciously we are doing this because we've made it a habit. But in reality, brothers, when a person, individual human being, puts his footsteps into the masjid, he should bow into sajda, that Allah, shukr to you Allah, my sins do not permit me to come to your home, my sins do not permit me to come to your house, to the masjid. This is your special fadl, karam, mercy and reward on this servant of yours, that you showed me the path to your masjid, you allowed me to get to your masjid. Brothers, this is the real big point we have to understand. If we understand, try to understand that in front of Allah, to even prostrate is not a little thing. It is not an easy thing. How many thousands of people, millions who are lost from sajda, prostration. Many people know sajda is valuable, precious, but they don't have the tawfiq to do sajda. Allah Ta'ala doesn't call them to his home. So out of the millions and billions of people, me, you, Allah Ta'ala selected us, invited us tonight to come to his home. We should be millions times over doing shukr, Allah, we're so grateful to you, Allah. You're so merciful, Allah. Whereas people in the dunya are departing from the world every second. Just like you count the beads on the tasbih, that is how fast people are drawing their last breaths while we speak. Morning, evening, there's a line in the graveyard. Go to the graveyards, you know. There's this car going, there's this coffin going. And we are also in that queue. We are also in that line. Our turn's going to come. Allah knows best when the turn will be. We will depart, for sure. So in these days, in this generation, in this environment, Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to attend a gathering like this. The basis of this gathering, Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. Allah guarantees if you come to a gathering like this, doesn't matter what niyyah you have. What is your intention? What is your thinking? What is your mindset? What is your aqeedah? What is your ideology basis? And you sit in a gathering like this and you don't even intend to sit in this majlis to do dhikr of Allah. You came with your agenda. Oh, what are these people doing? Let me sit and watch and listen. Even if you think this is a waste of time, doesn't matter what you think this gathering is. But because this gathering is so great, Allah Ta'ala says, this majlis is so preferable to me, so beneficial. It's such a special gathering that before even you came today, Allah Ta'ala said, I sent my special jama'ah of angels. Then I called them back and I say, who came to this gathering? Give me his name. I want to hear from the angels' tongues that what was the name of that person who came to the gathering. What was his parents' name? Allah Ta'ala is then told by the angels, and Allah Ta'ala likes to hear this. And after hearing all of this, Allah Ta'ala says, is it so? This person came and you were there, O angels, and you saw who came, you heard them. And in that gathering, the angels, Allah, they say, Allah, there was a man, he just came by chance. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, then listen, whoever came to that gathering, from myself I announce, even that person, if he was in the gathering who didn't have an intention, I forgive all of them. All of them are forgiven. The angels say, Allah, but there was one man, he had no link with the deen. He had no link with your dhikr. He came to meet someone for a business transaction, dunya, and he had to meet that brother that night. And it was very important to meet that person. He didn't go for dhikr, for your home, for your prostration. Allah, what does Allah Ta'ala announce? Allah said, I love that gathering so much. It's so beloved to me. It doesn't matter what his intention was, even he will be forgiven, that person. Because he's included in the gathering. So how do we know that when we depart today, we will die? I may die tonight. Allah Ta'ala gives me the certificate of success. How I come and how I depart. Full of the treasures. And this is such a great night. The night of Jummah. The night of Friday. Muharram has started. Great month. Holy month of Muharram. First few days of the month of the Islamic year. Allah Ta'ala calls us. This is our new year. And we don't do nothing. There are thousands of fitnas out there. Thousands of doors towards nafs and shaitan and sin and evil. And despite all of those attractions, Allah Ta'ala separated a heart from all of those things, from the darkness, and He called us to His remembrance, to His dhikr. Is this not an azeem gift? So these are moments where we should say, shukr to Allah, Allah, we're so grateful to You. May Allah Ta'ala accept our coming and our sitting. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to come time and time again, over and over again. And I would like to share a hadith with the Sahih Sanad. Has Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates this hadith. May Allah be pleased with him. It's an authentic hadith. And in this hadith, he states that you cannot go into paradise. You cannot say, do all of you want to go into paradise? Say yes, inshallah. Inshallah. So hear the hadith. We cannot go to paradise until we don't become mu'min. Until we don't become the true mu'min. The true believer. So what is the condition of paradise? Iman. Belief. We have to be mu'mineen. Believers. What a great reward Allah has set aside for iman. For their belief. So that's the condition of entering through the door of paradise. We cannot go into paradise unless we have iman. Unless we are mu'mins. So the mu'min, he will go into paradise. Do you know how many levels there are in paradise? So many levels. We say 100, Allah Ta'ala knows best. And every person will get his reward according to his status. Allah Ta'ala has put the levels in paradise. Subhanallah, glory be to Allah. In Jannat, when a person reaches there, he will enter into paradise. Every person who in the world who earned his did good deeds, somebody recited Quran, he will go into a certain level. If someone was a hafiz of Quran, he will go to another level. If someone practiced on the Quran, he will go to another level. And the person who, mashallah, was an alim, a scholar, he will be on his maqam, his level. Shaykhul Hadith, on his level. Those who said, Qala, Qala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will be enjoying themselves in paradise, in their palaces, in their big, big homes. And according to the deeds, according to the practice, Allah will reward. The people who gave sadaqah, charity, sisters, brothers, they will be in their palaces, in their mansions. People who are on Hajj and Umrah will have their rewards. People who taught the children Quran, they will be in their level. People who put their time and effort towards deen, they will get their reward and their level. Deen who call people, they made their effort through their lives to call towards Allah Ta'ala's deen. Allah Ta'ala said they will all get their maqams. To this point, the Allah Ta'ala says in Jannah, there will be a total group of the people of Iman. Dunya is the place of practice, brothers. Whoever has earned in this world, that much he will get in the hereafter. Whoever saved in this world, they will enjoy and reap the rewards and the fruits. Who will be in paradise? The people of Iman. The people of belief. Who had Iman in the heart. So Iman is a great, great asset, brothers. And it's inviting us to Jannah. But Allah Ta'ala said that every Iman is different. Every mu'min's iman is different and they should appreciate the iman. Even if you've got iman the width of a hair, Allah says even that person will go into Jannah. Even that person will go into jail. Even if you've got iman, the width or the weight of a hair. What is a hair? Even an atom's weight, you will go into paradise. And remember, without iman is hellfire forever. But even if you have an atom's weight of iman, you will go into paradise. Even if you go into Jahannam, eventually you will be extracted and sent into paradise. So how great, this is the greatest wealth indeed. The greatest wealth is iman. Even if you have a dot of iman, everyone will go into Jannah in paradise. Everybody will be in their levels, in their homes, relaxing, enjoying. Yes, melodious and tranquil, peace and comfort. There will be such people in paradise. There will be such a maqam in the hadith, it is stated that there will be some people whose faces will shine like the moon on the 14th night. They will be on that level. They will be on that level. Like the moon on the 14th night, and they will be sitting on thrones of yaqut and jewels, precious, precious stones. High, high minbars they will be sitting on. All of mankind that ever lived from the beginning of time, Adam alayhi salam, till the end of time. Everyone will be standing on that plane on the day of judgment. And those faces will be shining like the moon on the 49. And those people on Qiyam will say, Allah, who are these people? They're standing here, sitting on these thrones. Are they martyrs? Are they anbiya? Are they sahaba? They look so special. They're so unique. Allah says, no, they're not shuhada. They're not prophets. They are those people who in the world, they came from different areas, different tribes, different languages. They used to assemble in one place at one time. And who is this Jama'at? In the house of Allah they used to gather. And what did they do? They used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They used to do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. What a great rank. What a great status. And so this will be the reward for the dhakirin. Their maqam, this hadith mentions the rewards. So this is for those people who had iman strengthened by dhikr of Allah. Within that, iman, the value of iman, Allah says, the lowest, the Muslim, the lowest on the day of judgment, who has a dot of iman in his heart, he will be so fortunate that at the end of the reckoning, when everyone will have gone to paradise, everyone's in their palaces, mansions, then there will be a person burning in the corner in the ditch of hellfire. Allah Ta'ala will say, there's one left, I can hear him. I can hear him. He's burning in the depths. Where is he? Allah Ta'ala orders the angels. They say, Allah, he's being bitten by scorpions, serpents. He's getting punished in hellfire. He's being burnt. His darkness. He's lost. And right in the depths beneath the layers of Jahannam, he had iman. And he'll be calling, Allah, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, Allah, save me. He'll be calling to Allah. And Allah will send the angels. Allah will give the hukam. That's it, time's up now, everyone's gone, he's lost, his turn is now. So due to that dot of iman he had on his heart, he will be extracted from hellfire, being given ghusl, the bath. After the bath, his face will shine like the moon on the 14th night. He will be given the best attire. He'll be the last person to go into paradise. For what reason? Because he had iman. He had belief. He'll be extracted from the depths, the darkness, the fire, and it will be called, bring him. And he'll be bathed, and he'll be wearing the beautiful attire of paradise. He'll go in front of Jannah. And soon as he goes into Jannah, he will fall into prostration. He'll be asked, why are you prostrating? He'll say, Allah's in front of me. He'll say, this is not Allah. This is your palace that is shining. This is your palace that's shining. You haven't reached to Allah yet. This is just your mansion. And you thought this is Allah that's in front of you. And he'll see his rewards. He'll say to Allah. Allah will ask him, are you happy? You say, Allah, I am so happy. It's such a nice place. But if I could get this as well, could you give me this, Allah? Then Allah will give him something. Then in the deed, he'll get something. Allah will say, are you happy? You say, Allah, I'm so happy. You've given me so much. But can you give me just a few more things like this? Then Allah will give him these few extra things. He'll keep on asking, requesting, giving, requesting, giving. There'll be a session. Giving, taking, giving, taking. Then he'll say, Allah, I've got everything. Allah, are you happy with me? Allah will say, are you pleased with me? You'll say, yes, Allah, I'm pleased with you. Allah said, now you listen to me. Everything I've given to you, this and on top of this, that dunya that you left, I'll give you 10 times more than that. 10 times more than what's in the dunya. Imagine, brothers. Why? Because he had iman. How much we should do shukr. Allah's given us iman today, brothers. We're sitting here with the greatest treasure. Few seconds it takes. I could die. I could leave it. Oh, that brother, he was healthy. He was talking to us an hour ago. We were chatting. We were sitting down, socializing. He's died. There's no excuse. Mouth doesn't seek any excuse. And this happens, brothers. We hear it, we see it, and we have the greatest treasure with the fadl of Allah, alhamdulillah, in our lives. Utilize this wealth of iman. Persevere with it and utilize it, increase it. Because is there a guarantee I will live till tomorrow? There's no guarantee. So in the hadith that I'm reciting to you, I'm sharing with you, that no one can go into paradise unless if he has iman, unless he is a mu'min. So this hadith teaches us the word mu'min, the believer. What is that person? Which kind of mu'min will go into Jannah? That mu'min can go into paradise. Only those people who love each other, who have love between each other. No one can go into paradise until he has iman, mu'min. And a mu'min cannot go into Jannah until between each other they don't love each other. They don't have regards. This is conditioned in this hadith. So first is iman, then this is mu'min, then this is love. So what we learn? We have to love each other. Only those mu'mins can go into paradise. Those people who love each other, have regard for each other, are considerate to each other, who don't have any criticism against each other, who don't go into kharafat, into endangering each other, giving loss to each other. These are the words of the hadith, brothers. Here, the commentators have raised the question. You will hear that love is such a quality that love isn't there before and then it comes. You can't do love. You have to bring it into your heart. We try a lot to love each other or to give love to other people. You can't do that. Allah Ta'ala says it comes because you have to bring the ishq into your heart. You cannot try and pretend to give love to somebody. It comes automatically into the heart. If you have the capacity, if you have the quality, if the dunya tries to remove it from your heart, they can never, because it's penetrated, it's impregnated into your heart. Allah Ta'ala says, may Allah Ta'ala give us such love for each other. So this love is what's mentioned, that until we don't have, if we don't have that love in our hearts for each other, for other people, we cannot be mu'min and we cannot go into paradise. So what we learn basically is we need, all of us, every one of us needs to love each other with pure and sincere love. Do we have love for each other? Let's ask ourselves this question. Let's talk about our society. Let's look in my family. Do I love my family? Do I love my relatives? Let's go into our masjids. Do we love each other? Do all the musallis love each other? We stand on a saf. You know, Mahmud Ayaz, they stand in the saf, backbiting, backstabbing, and talking against each other, and dragging someone's name into the dirt. And what does Allah Ta'ala want? That the mu'min is that person. Those people who amongst each other, they love each other. So what we realize, the basis of Islam is akhlaqiyat. In the foundations of Islam is akhlaq. We weigh our deeds. I read 10 Quran, I did 15 Hajj, I did 20 Umrah, I gave this much money. Okay, good. He's a mashallah, good brother. Okay, you get the reward. Fine, I accept all of these things. Oh, you will get the reward for reading 10 Quran and 500 Hadith and you did dhikr 50 times and you get all the reward. We accept all this. There is thawab. But this Hadith will stay. And this hadith will weigh us and question us that I cannot reach to paradise unless I have the akhlaq. And if I say I've got this many umrah, this many hajj, this many Quran, this much sadaqah, and I'll reach to paradise, and then this hadith will come in front. There will be a questioning. There will be selection. This hadith will say, the person of the dunya will say, Allah, he swore at me. Allah says, take his Quran, take his hajj, take it. Then another brother will come and take judgment. Allah, he used to backbite against me. He used to drag my name in the dirt. Allah says, no problem, take his X, Y, Z, ibadah. Take all his deeds. So the biggest loser, the poorest person in the day of judgment will be he who had the most amal. Then the third person will come. Allah, he swore at me. He disrespected me. He used to envy me in front of other people. He used to call names to me in front of the society. He used to laugh at me. Allah says, take his deeds. Take his deeds. All of our deeds will be transferred. And I will end up with nothing. And Allah will say, send him into the hellfire. Send him into the hellfire. Do you understand the hadith now? Allah is great. Mu'min is he who has beautiful social intercourse in the world. Only he can go into paradise who is a mu'min, who has iman. Only he can go into Jannah who has iman. And only he has iman who is a mu'min. And only the mu'min is that person who are those people who love each other, are considerate to each other, have passion for each other, who don't criticize each other. I can only be a mu'min if my fellow Muslim brothers and sisters have no complaint against me. I have no debt to pay. I have no dues to pay. I'm so clean. My heart is so clean. When I get up from my bed in the morning, I do dua for all the Muslims around me. I do dua for my parents, for people, my friends, for their children. I do dua for my enemies, that Allah increase their iman, increase their ilm, increase their knowledge. And I do dua for myself right at the end. Is there any mu'min like this in the world today? There may be. That's why Allah said, the true mu'min, that's his maqam, who will go into Jannah. But those mu'min who hoard money, wealth, running after paisa, 10,000, leave salah, and they pray all the salah under the sun, hajj and umrah, but as soon as he goes out into society, he rubs all his deeds into the dirt. He loses all of his deeds. So these are artificial things. Islam is very clear-cut and a sophisticated deen with a sophisticated message. It's not a deen for show. For showing, oh, Hazrat Sheikh, this Molana, Qari, my friends, everything will come out on the Day of Judgment. Who was Hazrat Sheikh? Who was Molana? Who was Peer Sahib? Who was knowledgeable? Who was a Hafiz? Allah Ta'ala said, the deen is very clear cut. I am here, you are here. And these are the gatherings where we have to come and understand and learn and create a fikr in our heart, that how do I become the rounded Muslim? We don't come here to do dhikr. We come here with this niyyah, with this intention, that Allah, this dhikr I'm doing is a medicine. I consume it into my heart, so it cleans the blackness from my heart, so I can become a mu'min, a true Muslim, with all the qualities of akhlaq, so I can walk into paradise from every door. So on the Day of Judgment, every door of paradise says, come, forget your salah. I know you prayed salah, but Jannah is waiting for you because you are the best of people. After 5 times reading salah in the day, your heart should be shining. Allah says, I'm not going to look, did you have tahajjud or nawafil or Quran or sadaqah? None of these things. Even if I pray 5 times a day and do the 5 pillars of Islam, and my heart shines and I don't have anything to give anyone, and I don't inherit any lies or any swearing or any criticism, those 5 times salah in the day will take me to paradise. That's enough. If you just do the fard and you have got a good akhlaq, you will walk into paradise. But if you do all of the nafal under the sun, read salah all day long, awabin, ishraq, tahajjud, read Quran, hajj, umrah, and you break the hearts of people, you will never enter into paradise. Brothers, we will never enter into paradise. The biggest sin is to break the heart of a person. Don't talk about a person badly. Don't backbite. Don't slander. Don't dishonor somebody. Don't gossip monger. Islam teaches us, even if you know the blackness of the sins of a person, hide them. Today you hide the sins of a brother or sister, Allah will hide your sins on the Day of Judgment. And what do? We have the list. Oh, do you know this brother said this? Do you know this sister said this? Oh, do you know what he did today? Do you know what she did today? Astaghfirullah, what are the words we have? Through the texting today, we text, WhatsApp, oh, do you know what he's just done? Do you know where he's gone? Do you know what he said? He's just done this. Astaghfirullah. We use technology today, devices, social media, to ridicule and rub the reputations of people into the dirt. Educated people are doing this. So-called educated people. And we call ourselves mu'min. The hadith tells us clearly, only the mu'min will go into Jannah. And who is the mu'min? Please revise what I've said. Who is the mu'min? Those people who love each other for the sake of Allah. So these gatherings, dhikr of Allah, remembering Allah, going to the walis Allah, learning dhikr from a sheikh, there's only one purpose for this, that how can I become a good human being? How can I clean my batin? How can I get rid of the deficiencies from my heart so I can enter into paradise? Allah says, "Kunu ma sadiqeen," sit with the sadiqeen and you will get the qualities of the sadiqeen. So this is the cure, and this is the fadl of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has shown us the cure. In this day and age of darkness and sin, Allah Ta'ala has given us the solution. Come to the house of Allah, sit in the gathering of Allah, learn the dhikr of Allah, sit with the sadiqeen, the pious people, and Jannah will only go to the mu'min, and only the mu'min can be he or she who have love for each other for the sake of Allah. So now, how do I get love? How do I bring love into my heart? If I say to you, brother, I love you, but I don't have love for you in my heart, then I'm lying. If I shake hands, assalamu alaikum brother, wa alaikum salam, and we smile and grin with our teeth at that person, but where's the love in the heart? In the heart, there's a storm in my heart. I want the money that this brother's got. I don't like this brother. And I'm shaking my hands with him and grinning at the same time. And in my heart, I'm backbiting against him. Look at the whole of society. Day, night, Our society is such that we shouldn't even have prisons in our society. We shouldn't even need to have a jail in any city in the world. What do Muslims know? What is a jail? What is crime? What is a court case? What is all of these trials that are taking place around us? Our deen teaches us, Islam, that life is clean and pure and sincere and giving and taken. Even the animal lions know who is the Muslim. Even the animals didn't endanger the Sahaba. The animals will never harm a mu'min, the true believer. They are examples. And such people, the whole universe recognizes a Muslim. All the trees, the nature, the rocks, the vegetation, everything recognizes the mu'min. Brothers, fine, really am I the mu'min? Do I have the qualities of the believer in my heart? When I sleep in the night, before I fall asleep, there should be no negative feelings against anybody in my heart. Doesn't matter how much the dunya speaks against me, but I should not have any ill feeling against anybody in my heart. So should we do this or not? Should we not have these qualities? Of course we should. This is the mu'min. A mu'min, there can be no mu'min who enters into paradise without the love in the heart for other people. And who will be? The ummah of rahmatul lil alameen. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he presented to us the laws, the principles. And we may sit here thinking, how do I create love in the heart? How do I start to love the people around me? How do I start to have regard? If I say you love me, how do I love you, brother? How do I bring consideration to my heart for you? I totally don't have no feelings for you. I have no emotions for you, brother. I don't have love. So how does love come into the heart? In the houses, even the husband and wife don't love each other. They sit and eat with each other. All day long, they're sitting with each other. And they don't have love for each other. Forget about outside. Let's look in our families. Let's analyze our families. Relatives don't have love for each other. We are eating, wife, husband, children, but maybe there's no love in the hearts. There's a tradition or a habit or a ritual and people are coming together and speaking, but there's no love in the hearts. And they spend days and months and years like this. But Allahu Akbar, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the cure for everything. The sunnah has the cure for everything. If I explain to you, will you practice on this? All the fighting and quarreling in your families, in your homes will go. In the masjids, the fighting and quarreling will go. Love will come into the hearts. Because whatever our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is true. It is haq. And there's no bigger cure than this. There's no greater medicine than this. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was rahmatul lil alameen. Whenever he said anything, whenever he saw the illnesses, the maladies of society, subhanallah, what a physician he was. He gave such a beautiful cure, very clean and cheap and easy to implement. Very easy. He said, my ummatis, I know you have got problems. Like for example, if I say, if somebody gets cancer, how much will say, oh, it's too hard to cure him, or he has to eat this, or do this, or get this medicine, or chemotherapy here. Islamically, very easy. We have the worst of the diseases and we have the easiest of cures. Easiest of cures. Allah says, you may have the worst of diseases in the heart, but I give you the easiest of cures. In the world, if I'd commit crime, I have to run around, pay, do a trial. They say, give me £10,000 first, then I'll save you. Then I'll do the case for you. Or give me 15,000, 20,000. Or if you have an illness, you go to a doctor, he charges you money. Medically, private care is very expensive today. But today, Islamically, if we've got diseases, the cure is free of charge. If I explain to you, will you make the niyyah? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that, shall I tell you such a deed through which amongst all of you there will be love for each other in the hearts. And how can it not be if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is my experience in life, I've experienced this many times in my life. And I request you, there were enemies of mine who became my friends, I've experienced this practically. I didn't give a gift, I didn't say anything. I followed the advice of this sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He explained this to us, have so total yaqeen, more than the rock. Your yaqeen should be solid as a rock that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has prescribed this. There should be no doubt. You know someone's your enemy. If you practically implement this cure, inshallah that rock will crumble to dust and you will embrace each other. All the enmities will finish, but you must have the niyyah that you want to have the love. Is this right or wrong? First you must have the niyyah. So take out the fees, £10 each, then I'll explain. Subhanallah, it's a very cheap bargain. Very cheap bargain. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that on the day, shall I tell you a deed? Through that practice, there will come love into the society. Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell us, which deed is this? That we will all start to have care for each other, considerate, consideration for each other, affection for each other. One is, you know, having a little bit of a feeling. This is muhabbat, brothers. Muhabbat is very deep rooted. It's a very great relationship. So the Prophet ﷺ said, shall I tell you such a deed that will create love into your hearts? The Sahaba said, oh Rasulullah ﷺ, please tell us, which deed is it that we do that we will start to love each other? Very small point, but it will create love. And Rasulullah ﷺ said that amongst each other, spread and propagate salam amongst each other. Say subhanallah again. Subhanallah. May sound very simple, very small, but say salam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That's it. Ishfu salam. Abundantly give salam to each other. You see your brother? Assalamu alaikum. See each other? Assalamu alaikum. When you keep saying assalamu alaikum to each other, then enmities from years, from decades will be eliminated. Love will increase. Such solid love will come that you will love each other more than you do for your relatives. Test it. Test it out. Start doing it. It may seem hard. He's my enemy. But go up to him. Assalamu alaikum. Be first. Say assalamu alaikum to him. Assalamu alaikum. And there's no condition here. No condition on the salam. There's no condition. To give salam is a sunnah mu'akkada. But to give the answer is wajib. It is compulsory. So if the enemy doesn't want to answer you, then he will become a sinner. If he is proud, he doesn't want to answer you, doesn't matter. You've got the reward. You went first. And you wanted to get rid of that sin. And he will get the sin if he doesn't reply. It's wajib. And Allah Ta'ala says it is compulsory. So he will have to give the answer. Even if he goes, he still has to give the answer. He still has to give the answer. Yes, even if he moves his lips a little bit like that. But he has to say something, isn't it? So if someone's displeased with you and you say to him, assalamu alaikum, brother. And he won't even say, walaikum salam. He just goes, but he knows that he wanted to give the answer, even though he couldn't from his lips. And if he doesn't give the answer, he'll get the sin. But you, if you initiate the salam, within 10 minutes, you will get the highest form of maqam. So keep saying salam, assalamu alaikum. You go away for a few seconds, then come back, assalamu alaikum. Then he'll say, then go to the other room, come back, because this is the adab, that if something comes physically in between you, then you say assalamu alaikum again when you come back together again. Subhanallah, what a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How it creates the love between the Muslim. So if you say salam alaikum, what did the Sahaba do? Purposely they'd go past the tree, so they got separated for a second. Then when they met again, assalamu alaikum, they got the reward again. Wa alaikum assalam. Or they'd go between a barrier, then come back together again. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. So when you meet the enemy of yours, assalamu alaikum, say wa alaikum salam. Then you go physically separate, come back, assalamu alaikum. You'll say wa alaikum salam. Then third time you'll come back, assalamu alaikum. Within a few minutes, he'll say, wa alaikum salam, why do you keep coming to me? Then fourth time, fifth time, assalamu alaikum. Then he'll smile at you and say, wa alaikum salam. It will mend the homes. It will meet friends who are broken for years. It will meet relatives. It will bring people together. This is such a great hadith, brothers. There's a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. It was asked of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is the deed that Allah Ta'ala loves the most? What is the deed that Allah Ta'ala loves the most? What is the greatest deed in Islam? And what is the amal that Allah Ta'ala loves the most? Subhanallah. That these are the currency and the notes that we need to earn. This is the hadith from Sahih al-Bukhari. The people who select the pearls when they're on the ground, they pick them up. So when you hear something that Allah Ta'ala likes, you should grab it and bring it into your life. That Allah Ta'ala is being pleased with us. The biggest deed, to give salam, and the most preferential deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you get any bigger pearls than this tonight? This is a very great, great reward. So we should do amal on this time and time again. So let's start from today, alhamdulillah. Let's start from today. Do we start from today? Say inshallah. Start from me inshallah after the gathering finishes. I will start first. I will initiate the salam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell us that what is the greatest deed that Allah ta'ala likes the best in Islam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that the greatest amal in Islam that Allah ta'ala likes the most, what is that deed? That you feed each other and you give salam to each other. Feed each other and give salam to each other. What a beautiful point. Feed each other. When you invite someone or you feed someone, the love increases in the hearts. And when you give salam to each other, the muhabbat increases in the hearts. This is a very great and beneficial deed. What a great sahabi. They're at the highest ranks. And Allah Ta'ala said to them about them in the Quran, in the hadith, you are forgiven. You are the best of all creation. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. But look at, they wanted more. They wanted more. They said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us more. Tell us more. And we today, we have this deed. We have the opportunity. Today in the negative society we live in, we have enemies. The reason for this is that this deed has been finished from our society. When we go past someone who's a youngster, a kid, we don't even say assalamu alaikum. We don't even look second time to a brother or sister. Where somebody is older, yeah, for example, let's look at a minister. He won't even look at the poor person in society and say assalamu alaikum. He'll say, ah, astaghfirullah, I'm rich. Why should I look at this person? Nauzubillah. If there's an alim, big shot alim, he won't even look at the normal alim. He said, why should I say salamu alaykum to him first? I am pious, you should come to me. Astaghfirullah. And the educated person, he is a jahil himself. The educated person, so-called peer, he said, I am peer, I am the sheikh. Why should I say salam to my students? I teach Quran in the madrasa. Why should I say salam to the madrasa students? They have to come to me first. This is kibar, brothers. This is pride. The person who says salam first, he who says salam first, he will take all of the rewards. Remember this. All of the rewards. So on the akhirah, in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, that my friends, we have to ask that our necks, and we have this pride and haughtiness and this and this and this. We are nothing. Allah is the greatest. He is everything. We are nothing. We are worse than the spiders. We are worse than the ants. When we start sneezing and we start getting ill and fever, then we run to Allah for help and assistance. But when we are fine, we say, ah, we are the best. Allah Ta'ala says, anything can happen to us the next day. We are worse than the spiders. We are worse than the ants. Allah says, in a second we could be finished. We have nothing in our control. And what do I consider myself to be the best? So our Islam teaches, nobody should consider himself better than anyone else. We are the worst. Everything is in the control of Allah. Allah knows who's big, who's small, who's the best, who's pious, who's dirty. No one who is a Muslim has the right to say in the world that I have this status and I'm pious. Only Allah has the right to give the status. Like a son should have adab, for the mother, for the father. Have respect. We should all have adab for each other. But all of us are equal amongst each other. And I should consider myself the lowest. And Allah Ta'ala has given Islam the teaching. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, what a great sahabi he was. What a great companion he was. And he was the son of a father. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, he stood. And his student was with him. And they started walking. And he said, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. Through the whole shopping center, he said, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. He came back and the student said, that you didn't buy anything from the shopping center. We went around the whole shopping center. You didn't buy anything. And why did you go to the shopping center with me? He said, was there any bigger objective than this? That I went through the whole shopping center and said, assalamu alaikum to every stool holder, every shopkeeper. I earned the biggest treasure. I earned all of the rewards. I was sitting at home and I left and went through the whole shopping center, met so many people, and I said salam. But he could have sat there and said, I'm a sahabi, I'm guaranteed paradise, I don't have to get rewards, I don't need to do anything. But they weren't like this, the sahaba, they knew what were the rewards. So my friends, we need to get rid of the pride, the haughtiness, the kibar. The kibar is the biggest sin, remember this. Kibar will never let us do actions that are good and that will earn jannah for us. Never will kibar allow us to be successful. Kibar will drag us into the dirt. It will drag us into the soil. And when you say assalamu alaikum to each other, Allah Ta'ala has given such barakah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. There's peace in this. There's salamti in this. Allah Ta'ala himself selected this statement. Allah Ta'ala's name is salam. Allah Ta'ala's name is salam. So to say assalamu alaikum, there's so much barakah that it is impossible that when you say assalamu alaikum, you won't earn the love and the peace and the regard from others. Start practicing, standing, walking 10 times today, say assalamu alaikum to each other. When you go home, say 10 times assalamu alaikum. Even if they don't answer, say assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum, assalamu alaikum. How can it be you go home and you don't say assalamu alaikum to your wife? And your wife should reply to you. We think that, oh, that person, my wife, I'm bigger than her. I don't need to say salam alaikum to her. She should say salam first to me. Astaghfirullah. No one's bigger. Even if you are more powerful, you have more power and strength, you say assalamu alaikum first. Why don't you want the more rewards? The richest person in the world today is considered that person who has the biggest bank account. But Allah Ta'ala says the richest person is he who has the most deeds to his name. So say assalamu alaikum. I think I'm rich, I'm big. I shouldn't say salam because I've got a big car, big house, and the poor people should say salam to me. No. Sahih al-Bukhari is this hadith I've recited today. That the most preferential, the person that Allah Ta'ala loves the most, the deed that is loved by Allah Ta'ala the most, is those people who spread Islam through the society. Allah Ta'ala loves that for my sake they are saying salam to each other. Start from your home, your wife, your children. Teach your children. When they get up in the morning, they say assalamu alaikum to each other. They come to their mother, assalamu alaikum mother, assalamu alaikum dad. And the parents say assalamu alaikum to the children. You say salam to your wife, she says it to you. Where you see enmity started, bit of hatred started, assalamu alaikum. Where you see problems are coming in the house, friction is brewing. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Are you okay? What's the problem? Discuss it. No enmity, no envy, no pride, no criticism. And decide in your heart, I'm going to keep on saying assalamu alaikum till the hatred goes. I meet my brothers, my friends. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Inshallah, your life will come so smooth and beautiful. Our society was already beautiful, but we spoilt it. You know, like you have a picture and a child comes with all the paints and scribbles over the picture and drags it down and tears it and spoils it and throws his pens over it and we feel so sad. Allah Ta'ala gave us a beautiful deen, the sketch of Islam, and we spoilt it with all our bad deeds and akhlaq and conduct, with our traditions and habits and rituals, and we consider Islam is inferior, small, not important. There's so great hadith, great hadith on the practice of Islam, and this we should understand today is a big amal that Allah Ta'ala has given us. His promise today that we will spread Islam, ishfu salam, we will propagate salam. Rasulullah said, say salam, 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 standing, sitting, walking, traveling, say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah first. And the answer, to give the answer is wajib. Initiate it and give the answer. Say as much as you can, you will earn free of charge. And this deed is the deed that Allah Ta'ala loves the most, like tahajjud you pray, or wabeen after maghrib, nafal salah, reading Quran, and you recite Quran. Allah Ta'ala says, I like these deeds, but this is the best. I love it. You don't need wudu, you don't need masjid, you don't need any money. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. Ameen.